Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our March Monday Memos from Concordia Seminary. It's been some time since we've interviewed students on this program, so today we'd like to acquaint you with one of our first-year students who has been on campus since last fall. His name, Richard Maddox. Richard, welcome.
Well, thank you.
I know very little about you, Richard, or do I call you Dick?
I prefer Dick.
Okay. But I believe your background is somewhat different from that of the average seminary student. In fact, would it not be correct to say of you, lawyer-turned-preacher, or maybe preacher-to-be?
Well, preacher-to-be probably more apt.
Tell us something about yourself, Dick. Did you grow up in the Lutheran Church, or are you new to it?
I was born and raised in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I was born in Fort Riley and baptized there, and I was confirmed. My grandmother's going to die when she hears this, by an ALC pastor, though.
Oh, well.
But I've been a member of the Missouri Synod.
Uh-huh. You moved around quite a bit, right? Your most recent home is Lincoln, Nebraska?
Right. My dad was in the Army, and so I am what you call an Army brat.
Uh-huh.
Lived in 12 different places as I was growing up, and so
wow.
I've been around.
In how many years was it 12 different places?
16 years.
16 years.
And so.
Uh-huh. When did you move to Omaha?
Well, my dad retired from the Army in 1967 in Lincoln, and I lived in Lincoln until 1976 when I moved to Omaha.
I see. Uh-huh. Okay, so you started saying that you grew up in the Lutheran Church. I guess the next logical question would be, what happened after that?
Well,
you were confirmed, went to high school.
Well, I went to college at the University of Nebraska at Lincoln, and I majored in teacher's college as a mathematics teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And about halfway through my college curriculum, I decided to, saw the horizons a little bit differently, and I decided I wanted to go to law school. So
uh-huh.
That decision was made between my sophomore and junior years.
I see. Up until this time, had you ever given any thought to entering the ministry at all?
Well, as you should ask, that was the main goal as I saw myself as a youngster. You know, in grade school and junior high up until age 14, I saw myself as being a missionary or being a pastor. I can remember staying up nights all night talking to God about being a missionary, you know.
Is that right?
And talking to different people. I really saw myself as a youngster as being a pastor. But
mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the line in high school and through college, I sort of drifted away from that goal. You know, I became interested in mathematics and sciences and basically went to that type of thing when I went to college. And
mm-hmm.
That's why my first major was mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
But halfway through, I even changed my mind again going to law school. And
uh-huh.
That was a very critical period in my life at that time as I sort of sat down and started looking forward to my life and what was important to me. And at that time, I made some very self-centered and personal evaluations about what was going to be important to me. And I looked at the teaching career, and I saw that as a teacher, you gave a lot, but you didn't receive too much. And receiving was important to me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I looked at lawyers, and I saw the power and the prestige and the material wealth that comes with being a lawyer. And I saw they received a lot more from the community than what a teacher would be. And so
mm-hmm.
that was for me, I decided, and so I enrolled in law school.
I see. Were you personally familiar with any lawyers that particularly persuaded you, or was this just an observation?
I knew no lawyers personally. My family had no lawyers in it, and none of our family friends were lawyers, but it just happened to be that my best friend in college was a pre-law major. He was
uh-huh.
in debate, and he had and all that, and he sort of influenced me too to a great extent. I saw where he was going, and many of the things that he was looking forward to, I was looking forward to, and as we sort of grew together sharing values at that time, and
mm-hmm.
so we went to law school, as a matter of fact, for 3 years.
I see, uh-huh. So. Now, where was this that you attended law school?
I went both undergrad and graduate school at Nebraska.
I see.
I got my BS from Nebraska in 1973, and then I got my JD from the law school in 1976.
I see, uh-huh. Now, I think that something rather interesting happened, though. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here on this campus now. Would you tell us exactly what did happen?
Well, that's not what you call a short story.
No, that's fine.
But basically, it was one that happened over quite a few years. And basically, the story started about in high school and through college as I sort of became a backsliding Christian, in which I put Jesus Christ on the back burner of my stove and turned it down really low as I went on to the more important and relevant things in my life, you know, mm-hmm. things that were important to me. Yeah, but as I slid along in this sort of state for about 6 or 7 years until I was a freshman in law school, my first year, and at that time I was confronted by one of my pastors. And I really wasn't expecting this from him. We just sort of crossed in my dining room, my mom's dining room one day, and he just turned to me point blank and out of the blue asked me if I believed in Jesus Christ and caught me off guard for a second.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And I was really prepared there for a minute to give him the stock answer. You know, I had been through catechism and in parochial school, you know, and I studied the Bible. I knew what Lutheran response should be. You know, mm-hmm. I believe in Jesus Christ and he died for my sins. And I almost rattled that off from memory, but God was working then and there, and he made me become very honest. And I turned to my pastor and I said, you know, I've been sliding for so long, I just don't really know anymore in what I believe. And then he promptly asked me the second question. He says, well, do you deny that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And I really searched my heart and said, no, I could not say that. Mm-hmm. And so he turned to me and he said, there's hope. He says, but you have to realize that you're at the crossroads of your life. The most important time is now confronting you. Are you going to walk with Jesus Christ or are you going to deny him? And he really tried to stress to me the importance of the situation, and he certainly did that, because at that time I said, this is really true. This is probably the most important time in my life. And so I sat down and began reading my Bible again, pulled off my old catechism and blew the dust off of it and started reading it again, and went to a catechism class with the pastor, and through a period of a year studying the Bible again and going back to the beliefs that I was raised up in as a youth.
Now, how old were you at this time?
I was 23 at uh-huh. this time. It was my first year in law school. Mm-hmm. And then during this first period of the year was when I started really studying the Bible again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I took Jesus Christ off the back burner and put him on the front burner,
yeah.
you know. But it was a process of studying God's Word and really letting the Holy Spirit work through that in my life. And mm-hmm. he was the one that led me back. It wasn't as if I found Jesus and brought myself back. As I look back on my life now, mm-hmm. I can see just time and time again where God was tapping me on the shoulder, trying mm-hmm. to turn me around, and I said no so many times.
Mm-hmm.
But
another finally, day, huh?
Another day. Yeah. But he finally got through to me.
Yeah. So then what happened? You nevertheless did continue in law school.
Yes, that was this all was happening during my first year in law
uh-huh.
school. And after my second year in law school, I continued in law school. And at this time, I started realizing that I'd always been taking from the church. I'd always been taking from Jesus, and I'd never really been giving to the church, never really serving the church in any capacity. And so I approached my pastor about serving, and the church issued me a call to teach Sunday school. I started working in the evangelism committee on the church. I became a member of the Voters Assembly, and I started doing different things in the church, and was even an alternate delegate to the Nebraska District Convention, and things like that. Became mm-hmm. very involved in the church. And as I was growing in this, I suddenly looked back to this decision that I had made several years ago into the legal profession, and I realized that I'd made the decision for all the wrong reasons. I was looking at myself, all the power and wealth and prestige and social respectability that I would gain,
mm-hmm.
and I had never really looked at it as a thing of looking at my life as being a vocation for serving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started evaluating this, and the first process or stage I went through was realizing that there was a great need for Christian lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
That it's rather unfortunate to say that while the legal community does have a great deal of respect, there isn't too many real Christians involved in the legal community.
Mm-hmm.
And as I talk to different pastors, I find that they are in a real dilemma when something does break down in a family or some problem comes up with some members in their congregation, they need legal advice, they don't really know any Christian lawyers to recommend.
Yes, I've heard this. Uh-huh.
And so I was really wrestling with it there for a while, whether God was really calling me as my vocation to be a Christian lawyer. But the longer I thought about it, and as I remembered my youth,
mm-hmm.
about all those years that I was always looking forward to being a pastor, I sort of came into a crisis
mm-hmm.
right then. What did God want me to do in my life? You know, I was trying to figure out what God's will was. And so for about a period of a year there, I was really struggling with
mm-hmm.
this issue.
But instead of asking what you want, you turn it over to the Lord.
I was turning to the Lord and said, asking him what he wants me to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
It was a complete turnabout that God had worked in my life for me there, and I was looking at things completely with a new perspective. The problem was I was in law school, and law school was marching to a conclusion at this time while I was still wrestling with this issue. My senior year was approaching. And you always start making job applications prior to your senior year.
Oh, is that right? That far
in advance. Uh-huh. So you're out there interviewing and sending out your letters. And so I started this process where I says, well, I'll send out letters.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, I applied to work as a law clerk for a federal judge. This was me in the September of 1975.
A law clerk, you said?
That's technically a legal assistant, a research assistant for the judge.
I see.
In which you sort of become... You sit in court and listen to the arguments with the judge, you know, not as a judge, but you're sitting on a side and you listen to it while he asks all the questions. But when he goes back to make the decision, he has you do some legal research, he bounces some of his ideas off of you, and once he makes up his mind as to what the decision is going to be, according to the legal precedents or whatever, you know, he has you help him write the opinion. I would do some of the editing for him and doing some of that work. And so I worked basically as one of his assistants for a year.
That sounds like a good way to learn.
It was an excellent learning opportunity, and that's why I applied for the position. I was very fortunate to get the position working for a federal judge for a one-year appointment following my senior year. And that turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because as that fall wore on my senior year and I had the security of knowing that I had a job, I could really sit back and look at the decision of whether God was calling me to the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out to be a blessing in several ways, not only giving me time, but once I made the decision that God was calling me to the ministry, I should say, well, I confirmed his call, not that I made the decision, but I had this year to think about that. You know, it was a great year of confirmation during this year when I was preparing to come here to Concordia.
But to catch up chronologically then, you did graduate from law school, and this was when, in 70?
It was summer of 1976.
Okay.
Then I spent a year working in Omaha for a federal judge. Then in the fall of 1977, I came here to St. Louis to school.
But you made the decision to come here before you took this year of employment.
Right. Well, before I actually started working, I took the job, or I accepted to work the job for the working for the judge in September of 1975, and I really firmly came to the conviction that God was calling me to the ministry, and really, you know, publicly stated it that I was accepting the call or confirming it with my friends in January of 1976.
I see.
It was in the middle of my senior year,
And
I finally made the break and realized that the legal profession was no longer going to be my profession.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it's really astounding that here you were certainly a very promising young man with financially had the whole world ahead of you.
It's funny you should say that. I had my Jaguar all picked out.
Did you really? Did you ever get it?
No. I'm driving a 67 Ford. It's green, but it's not the right color of green.
What did your peers think about this, that you made this kind of decision?
Well, most of my peers in the legal community were astounded, to say the least. Many of them were working with a Christian perspective, could understand. But many of them were really astonished. Why would somebody give up everything that the legal community had to offer? And they were basically looking at the monetary rewards and the power and the prestige versus, you know, supposedly non-rewards that the ministry gives. They were looking at it through a worldly view as what the occupation can give you in a materialistic sense. They were sort of surprised, you know, how could somebody be so dumb? I did have some very positive feedback from many people. I can remember to this day that when I was in St. Louis with the judge to hear a case one time, and one of the law clerks from one of the other judges just walked up into the hall that one day and just put his arm around my shoulder, and he says, I heard you are going into the ministry, and I couldn't be happier. That type of real support from within the legal community meant a lot to me. And also the support that I had from my judge, Judge Lay, that I worked for. He was very supportive of this, too. And he says that he wrote me a letter, and he said that while he thought the legal community was losing a good lawyer, he said that the world needs good preachers a lot more than they need another lawyer.
Yeah,
and so I'm glad that letter really meant a lot to me.
I can well imagine. Dick, one thing that I imagine people in our radio audience would be wondering about, how do your classes here compare with what you had in law school? Now, the obvious, of course, is that you get theology here. But aside from that, is there a great difference, or is it basically the same?
There is a difference in teaching methods between law school and the seminary. They're both professional schools, and so immediately they're taught on a professional level, and that thing is the same at both
mm-hmm.
schools. But the main difference is that the law school, they teach what they call a Socratic or question-answer method. It's
mm-hmm.
not a lecture where the professor comes in and tells you what you should know. They teach by what they call a casebook method, and you have a series of cases or legal opinions, and you derive your knowledge or understanding of the area by pulling a synthesis of these
mm-hmm.
different cases together. But the prof does not tell you what the answers are. By a series of leading questions,
uh-huh.
he has you formulate the correct understanding. But it's
sort of
in an adversary sense that he's trying, sometimes you get the feeling he's definitely trying to hide the right answer from you in law school.
Uh-huh.
And it gets to be very frustrating at times, and it gets to be an adversary role. You're trying to beat the prof by figuring out the answer, and he's trying to hide it from you. And it's also very competitive in law school, too. The students are very competitive towards one another. So the total environment and attitudes of law school and the teaching method is completely different than here.
Uh-huh.
Because
uh-huh.
mainly the lecture method with some discussion is used here at the seminary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. Uh-huh. Do you feel that having been in the legal profession will be of any help to you in the ministry later on? Or do you think it's going to be a hindrance? I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, I see no real direct application. I'm not going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will not be practicing law actively or giving legal advice. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do see a fantastic advantage that my legal preparation has done for me. My years at law school matured me tremendously, taught mm-hmm. me many things, sharpened my mental approach to many problems. I now think the way a lawyer thinks. You know, I have an analytical
mm-hmm.
approach. And you sort of say that, you know, think the way a lawyer thinks. There is a definite way a lawyer thinks, and law school just drills this into you. You have to think analytically.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has really changed my concept and approach to things. I'm much more logical and analytical in my approach to things. And sometimes that gives me some problems, because when you're working with God's Word and with theology, faith, it transcends mere understanding and
mm-hmm.
logic. And so
mm-hmm.
you can work yourself into a little bit of a problem when you're trying to equate your faith with your understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand all things that God says.
Mm-hmm.
And when I try to, I work myself into a problem. So sometimes I have to back off.
Uh-huh. However, in the ministry where you will be dealing a great deal with helping other people with their problems, I would think that this would be of tremendous help to get at them in this analytical way that you describe.
I find that even, you know, while I was in law school, was teaching you how to analyze legal problems, I found that I'm able to take this type of approach over into many different areas, even dealing with, you know, personal problems or dealing with people. I can deal with them very analytically and
mm-hmm.
try to get down to the source of the problem or what is really going on in the situation. I find that very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But the main advantage I see of my legal background is in actual counseling, or possibly is the background of knowledge that I have of the particular areas of law, such as adoption, divorce, and the different family relation type law there
yeah.
is, because I know I will not be an expert in that area, and I will not be giving legal advice to my parishioners at that
mm-hmm.
time when I'm counseling them, but it will be a background on which I can build
right.
so that my advice to them or my counseling to them
mm-hmm.
I have that added flavor,
yes.
that added dimension
yeah.
to it.
I would think that this would be a very distinct advantage, and I'm real sure that this would be could be of only benefit both to you and to the congregation.
Well, I really see the hand of God working and sending me to law school, because I just see how much that helped me, and I grew through that experience, and
mm-hmm.
how much better prepared I am now
mm-hmm.
even study here at the seminary, let alone thinking about the years ahead
yes.
as a pastor.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. By the same token, do you foresee any potential problems that you may encounter as a pastor, or even now in the classroom? Well, I think you've already alluded to
this. I hinted at that a little
yeah,
bit, but I'm having
right.
some trouble in classroom
yeah.
once in a while.
yeah.
When my logical mind, you know, wants to work to its sometimes
mm-hmm.
ultimate conclusion, but in that respect, you know, basically letting faith be the leading guide instead of your own reasoning is basically the problem I have right now in my studies. But in the long run in the ministry, I really don't see any handicaps to my legal background. I really see many advantages to it.
I suppose this is a question that you have really haven't given a whole lot of thought to, but as people become aware of your legal background, do you foresee the possibility that they will, in a sense, take advantage of it? I'm thinking, for instance, when you go to a party and you meet a medical doctor and you quickly run down what's all wrong with you, do you think any...
I've experienced that here, but...
Have you really?
I have one advantage in that respect, since I'm only admitted to practice law in the state of Nebraska and the school here is in Missouri. I always tell the people that I cannot practice law in the state of Missouri. Of course, I'm ethically required as a lawyer to say that first off when someone asks me for advice. I tell them that I'm not licensed to practice law in the state of Missouri, and they should see someone who is licensed in the state of Missouri. And so that fends off most of the questions. But I do sort of give general legal advice to people, but I always tell them to seek out a lawyer, because I am no longer actively practicing law.
Mm-hmm.
And law is a profession in which someone should completely dedicate their time to it, to be really competent in the field and do justice to their client and to his needs. And I really would be doing someone a disservice to try to give them legal advice without really being in the field full time.
So
I always tell these people that.
But yeah,
if I can be of aid in a general way of telling them something about that my legal background gives me some knowledge of, I share that with them, but I do not try to counsel them as a lawyer would do.
I see. And I think you said earlier that in no sense would you ever combine law with the ministry.
No.
Would you want to explain that a little further?
Well, I don't really. I think I sort of have a conflict of interest when you're practicing both being a pastor and a lawyer. I think you ethically have to make a decision between one or the other. Whereas I think your Christian vocation is definitely available both in the law and definitely in the pastoral ministry. But there can be a definite conflict of problem, because a pastor's role is basically there to be a pastor, the root of the word means to be a shepherd. He's there to lead and guide people in their Christian walk and relationship with Jesus. But whereas, you know, and therefore when they're counseling a couple, let's say, with marital problems, the pastor is there to reconcile the people, you know, through God's advice, you know, and in the love of Jesus. But whereas a lawyer comes in, it's basically an adversary system where one lawyer represents the husband and another the wife. And while they are first also ethically required to make sure that if there's any possibility of reconciliation, one represents one versus the other. Whereas the pastor is working together with the people, not on side of one versus the other. Because he's, you know, really the servant of the Lord and not really representing one of the people.
Yes.
So there could be a real conflict of interest being a lawyer and a pastor at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. One final question before our time has expired. You probably, again, have not given a whole lot of thought to this, but do you have any preference for the type of ministry that you hope to get into?
Well, I was... been thinking about this, and I would have two basic thoughts on it. One is really very recent, just this last Wednesday, as I heard our President Royce was talking to the campus here on missions, and he told me that only two students last year from both of our seminaries went into the mission fields, foreign mission fields. And I didn't know the figure was there, and I had never really thought about foreign mission work until he said that, but I felt something tugging at my heart as he said that, and so I'm in the process of reconsidering. You know, basically, you know, I'm always trying to open to where God is leading me in the ministry. And while I've never considered foreign missionary work before, I see the great need for it in right now within the Senate, you know, to provide that type of ministry. But basically, I've also seen a ministry I was looking forward to possibly on Vic Reach when I go to work in some sort of mission field here in this country, too, in North America, starting out with some mission congregation someplace. I really see the call. Mostly my experiences so far in working in the church have been with evangelism.
Oh, yes.
And so I really see, I want to get into that field. Basically, I have a real desire to work in that area.
Well, Richard, we certainly thank you for taking time out to be with us today. You've given us some interesting sidelights about yourself, and we thank you sincerely for being with us today.
Well, I enjoyed it.
Thank you.